You know, this started off as an interesting week. That press I wanted to call it a press conference because there was so much press in the room while you were at the table with the president. That was a unique thing. All the news media going, this doesn't happen every day, basically 2 hours at a meeting negotiating out in public in front of the cameras.
Tom, I've been to meetings, lucky enough to be to meetings with President George W. Bush, President Obama, and now President Trump. That was the most unique meeting I've ever been at in the cabinet room. The president usually invites the press in, makes a brief statement, and clears the rooms. And this time he invited the press in, made a statement, and said, you can stay if you want to. Well, of course they did. And for 55 minutes, it was live TV. I've never seen that happen before. And I have to say, I think it was a positive exchange. We didn't solve a lot of problems, but we certainly aired our differences and moved in a direction. And I give the president credit for it. You know, I'm not exactly his biggest fan in the world, but I give him credit where it's due. He's taken a tough issue, brought together Democrats and Republicans, and said, I want to get this solved. You know, that's what the American people are looking for, Democrats and Republicans to solve problems.
And when it comes right down to it, he appeared to reach out to a level of Democrats that made other Republicans at the table uncomfortable, especially when it came to the issue of immigration.
And especially when it came to Dick Durbin. I mean, when you look, several times he referred to me by my first name. I want your listeners to know that I've spoken to the president three times in my life before that meeting. But we had a friendly exchange and a positive exchange. And as I said, if we can solve a problem, I want to work with this administration and get it done.
You know, what's interesting is one of the issues that came to the table on that unique event early in the week was immigration. And it's interesting because last night, Kelly Conway on CNN saying the president has discovered that a physical wall across the entire U.S. border with Mexico is not needed. This could be a change in position, a change in the winds, but still this is something where you can see two sides moving towards one another.
Tom, listen to what the president said during the campaign. A wall, a big, beautiful wall from sea to shining sea, paid for by the Mexicans. Well, you say things in the course of a campaign, and then you get into the responsibilities of governing. Here's the reality. We have hundreds of miles of walls, barriers, and fences now on our southern border. Some of them need to be replaced in San Diego and places like that. We have ancient fences that really need to be replaced. Some of them need to have new barriers, and some of the old barriers need to become fences so they can see from one side to the other. Let's be honest about it. The president acknowledged it. We're not going to build a wall from one end to the other. We're going to make sure we have barriers where they work, have technology where it works. Yes, I'm for border security. Yes, I'm for immigration and done in the right way. You can put the two together. That's what we're trying to do.
And I think this is interesting because it seems while at the same time they're saying, look, that we may not need the Republican presence and we may not, through a spokesperson, we may not need a wall all the way across, but still being firm that the wall should be tied to the Dreamers and the legislation should be a singular piece of action, and we're not going to take action on the Dream unless we get the wall.
And let me tell you why there is connection, why there is symmetry. I support the Dreamers. That's well known. And I think they ought to be given a chance. But we want to, at the same time, send a message to the world that that doesn't mean we flung the gates open and that anyone who cares to just come right on into the United States. I believe in immigration, but we need orderly immigration when we don't want anyone coming to this country who can threaten our families, our neighborhoods, and the like. So there need to be standards, and there needs to be technology. For example, there's something called a Z portal. It's a major X-ray machine that X-rays cars and trucks and buses to identify contraband drugs as well as individuals who are trying to sneak into the country. I'm all for that technology. Sign me up. So when it comes to border security, I think we can do that as well as deal with the reality of immigration in our country.
You know, I've seen some of the test photos from the X-ray, the imaging system you're talking about. It's really amazing how the resolution and what you can see, and down right down to the, well, to everything that's in there in a three-dimensional shape. Here's the interesting thing. Yesterday, you said, look, we want an immediate passage of the DREAM Act. You got together with the Democratic caucus yesterday afternoon on the Senate floor. That was scheduled for yesterday afternoon at 5:30.
Well, we did. And I tell you, we have a group that has been quietly working behind the scenes for 4 months. And it's a group of Democratic and Republican senators. And we are very close to an agreement to move forward. And it includes all the four elements that the president mentioned to make sure that we have good border security, to make sure that people are not exploiting the system of family unification, and to make certain as well that the visas that are being offered to those coming into this country are carefully screened so there's no question about the people who are coming in. We can find agreement on those things, and we should. Wouldn't it be amazing if we accomplished something on a bipartisan basis here to kick off this year, and then went to infrastructure and started building roads and bridges that are critical for Southern Illinois in our entire state on a bipartisan basis? I hope this is just the beginning.
Now, you traveled back to Illinois to Quincy last Friday. While you were there, the governor had been there since Wednesday. You made a visit, and what did you learn while you were at the Quincy VA home?
Well, let me tell you, I know that home pretty well. I was congressman representing that area for 10 years, and of course have represented in the Senate. I have referred some of my close friends who are veterans to the home, confident that they would receive the best care. Having said that, in 2015, we started seeing this Legionella disease coming forward, people being infected and dying from it. We had some 60 people who were infected, veterans and the staff, and 13 that died. That is scandalous to think that was occurring in a facility owned by the state of Illinois and supported by the U.S. Veterans Administration. The president, the governor was there, staying overnight for whatever reason, and I said to him, we have got to get together, state and federal, put the money in to protect these veterans. He said yesterday, you know, at a press conference up in Chicago, that he was going to come forward with a plan. The sooner, the better. I want to make sure these veterans are safe.
One of the items when I read in a press release from your office and a published report saying, I no longer support the closing of that veterans home. That was a quote from your appearance last Friday.
But I said a couple weeks ago when I was asked, is, well, what are you going to do if they can't stop these people dying? I said, move them. That's what we're going to do. We cannot ever explain to these veterans or their families why we would leave them in a dangerous circumstance. So we either roll up our sleeves and get this thing fixed right there in Quincy or make sure they're in a safe place. I left after my visit to Quincy with the belief that there are things we can do. I'll give you an example. There's one building there called Elmore. 100 veterans live in that building. You know what they discovered, Tom?
No.
They did a sample, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, did a sample out of that building in December, and they identified exactly the same bacteria that killed people 2 years ago is still there. Same fingerprint, no question that it's still there. For goodness sakes, take the people out of that building. Let's put in the plumbing that's necessary, get the federal help that is available, protect them. So when I talk about closing, it isn't closing the whole facility, but close those buildings that are dangerous immediately. Protect those veterans absolutely right now.
Before I let you go, as we move forward, these next few days are going to be very important. We have the Iranian nuclear deal and the potential for waivers there and a lot of people negotiating there, especially when how are we going to take action against Iran if they continue their rogue activities a la ballistic missile development. What in the coming days do you want to draw our listeners' attention to? You've seen some promise here in negotiations earlier in the week with the administration. You sounded hopeful there. I mean, moving forward, what do you want to draw our attention to?
Tom, we have a dilemma here. Iran is a bad actor. Iran does terrible things around the world, terrorist activity. That is a reality, and I'm not overlooking it. But we also have an agreement with them that they will not produce nuclear weapons, and they'll allow inspectors to crawl all over their country to make sure they're keeping their word. So far, those inspectors say they've kept their word. There's no development of nuclear weapons. I want to make sure that we keep that part of the agreement strong. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be a critic of Iran when it comes to other activities and their terrible government, but for goodness sakes, Iran with a nuclear weapon is as dangerous to the United States as North Korea with a nuclear weapon. We don't need it to happen. I hope we can keep this agreement alive and keep the inspectors in place.